Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or jeffweilercolumbusautomall.com.
It's Monday.
It's March 24th.
And the word of the day is unanimous, which means united in stupidity. Used in a sentence, when the public health chief gives all the chickens bird flu on purpose, we're all unanimous, whether we're actually unanimous or not.
Yeah, well, he's an ass in us anyway. Yeah.
Really? Because it feels the other way around, can I say?
Yeah, no, that too. That too. I'm no illusions.
I'm Eli Bosnick.
I'm Heath Enright. And broadcasting delayed from America's Far Center, we are the Skeptocrats.
On this week's episode, federal courts rule on if we can have a deportation catapult.
Trump voters argue that at least he makes the planes crash on time.
And I was excited by a headline about the Kennedy assassination, but then I was like, oh, right, JFK.
But first, the rest of the intro music.
Joining me for headlines tonight are my fellow skeptic rats, No Illusions, and Eli Bosnick. Gentlemen, we have a pre-lead story, really quick. Donald Trump says he won the club-wide golf tournament at Trump International Golf Club in Palm Beach last week.
Oh!
So, we're dead and it's a simulation? What the fuck is happening?
I hear the Red Queen crushed the club-wide croquet tournament as well.
Yeah. And Kim Jong-un golfed an 18 that one time. Yeah. It's all coming together.
All right. In our lead story tonight, when the government goes full Nazi, it's impossible to go full Godwin. At that point, you're just pointing at a Nazi and saying Nazi. And when I say that point, I mean this point. The U.S. government is sending teams of actual jackbooted thugs to abduct immigrants and political dissidents and then deport those people without due process. And when lawyers and judges try to step in, we have the leaders of the neo-Gestapo saying, really? You're going Godwin right now? And then they're like claiming the boots are only calf length, so they're not technically jack boots. Great. That includes Columbia University grad student, pro-Palestine activist, and legal permanent resident with a green card, Mahmoud Khalil, getting pulled from his home in New York City and flown to a detention center in Louisiana. And it also includes multiple plane loads of people getting accused of being Venezuelan gang members and immediately deported to, not Venezuela, El Salvador, where we've been outsourcing inhumane prison services, despite our alleged America First job policies. If anyone's picking their battles right now to, like, maintain sanity, I get that, but this one must be picked.
Right. Yes, right, because once they nail down the whole disappearing people they disagree with bit, there's no more battle picking.
Yeah.
You don't get to.
Yeah, to be clear, this isn't how we treat criminals of real crimes, let alone the disagreeing with us ones that we just made up.
Yeah, so in case anyone missed it, here's what happened with Mahmoud Khalil. He was involved in pro-Palestine protests on the Columbia campus, and he has not been charged with any crime. Well, apparently that's a crime. Huh. Agents showed up at his apartment to abduct him. They claimed they revoked his visa. He explained that he doesn't have a fucking visa. He has legal permanent resident status. It's a green card. The agent said, oh, fuck. Well, whatever. We're abducting you anyway. And they pulled him away from his third trimester pregnant wife, a U.S. citizen, and took him to a detention center in New Jersey. Then they decided that the political climate of Louisiana would be a better environment for insane fascism, so they made up a lie about all of New York and New Jersey having bed bugs. I mean, like, okay, pretty good lie to be fair.
We do have a couple of those,
but
yeah.
I'm pretty sure they were lying. And they took Khalil to a detention center over 1,000 miles away from his house.
Yeah, to Louisiana, which is, among other things, the buggiest goddamn state in the union.
Yeah. Oh, maybe it was a Homeward Bound situation for the bed bugs, and Khalil just sort of got caught up in the journey.
Okay, so if there's one tiny shred of positive news here, showing one tiny shred of distinction between the current legal system and the actual Third Reich, it's the teetering existence of the U.S. federal court system. Khalil's legal challenge has been able to at least block a deportation for the moment and allow a lawsuit about the blatant violation of First Amendment rights and Fourth Amendment rights and Fifth and 14th and most of the other ones too, probably. Yeah. And a judge ruled that it's happening at a federal court in New Jersey, that case, and not Louisiana, because of the 1,000-mile radius of bed bugs surrounding New York City. We'll see how it goes. But here's the argument from the Department of Homeland Security. They're claiming that Khalil led activities aligned to Hamas. Apparently that includes talking in Upper Manhattan.
Yeah.
Hamas wants plenty of bad things. I mean, so does Netanyahu, hence the protests. But Hamas presumably also wants stop bombing civilians in Palestine and preventing aid workers from helping, which apparently makes me a terrorist, too, for being anti-war crime.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, well, hell, at this point, I'm aligned with the Death to America folks in Iran. When the fuck are we going to get deported?
Yeah, and here's the thing. There's sort of an undercurrent in this conversation of, like, you have to agree with everything that happened at the protests at Columbia to agree we shouldn't be illegally kidnapping its participants. Listen, I don't care if Khalil wrote a love song to Hamas and called for my death by name. The punishment for that is not kidnapping and deportation of legal citizens.
Yeah, and just aligned to, that's so vague. Like, Hamas might want, like, the McRib back.
Or, like, right, well, like falafel.
Probably not that exactly, but, like, that's not that's not the point. It's too vague. And that brings us to the ongoing war between the United States of America and the invading forces of a hostile nation called that one gang from Venezuela. That's the claim to justify having ICE agents abduct at least 238 people that we know of and deport them without any due process. According to the administration, all those people were part of a Venezuelan gang called Tren de Aragua. How would we know if those people are actually part of the gang without any court proceeding? Doesn't matter, because of the Alien Enemies Act of 1798. That's the year of that. There's an invasion by a hostile nation, so you just do stuff. Those are the rules from 1798, according to the administration. Also, those people had tattoos that were super gangy.
Oh.
Like, in one example, a crown and a soccer ball that was on a professional soccer player. So like, soccer chapter of Tren de Aragua, I guess.
Yeah, right. No. Well, and being in a gang, of course, is illegal. And an act of war.
And war, yeah. Yep.
And time travel.
Yes, right, that too.
So that insane operation led to another challenge in federal court about violating, like, all the amendments again. Mm-hmm. And Judge James E. Boasberg ruled that maybe there's a giant illegal fascism thing happening and ordered the administration to stop doing that for a minute while we figure out the rules. Boasberg also ordered that any planes in the air be turned around. Well, zero planes were turned around, and we know for a fact, based on flight logs, that at least one was literally in the air when that order happened last week. So the administration got called back into court for very obviously doing a crime and ignoring the ruling, and we got their arguments from a fucking middle school game of touch football about how they were past the corner of the shed, so whatever doesn't fucking count. Here's the real arguments they made. First of all, if the plane is already in the air, it's like a cop starting to write a ticket, and that's a real thing. There's like a magical deadline that's passed, and the air above international waters are governed by the rule of the high seas, where there are no rules. Also, they argued that Judge Boasberg said the part about turning around the planes verbally, but he didn't write down the same exact sentence in the written order that comes after the hearing, and talking doesn't count by a federal judge, only writing.
I'm surprised they're not accusing him of writing that order with an auto pen at this point.
Yeah. Now, counselor, when you say you were on base, do you mean the illegal prisons you run in other countries? You mean the illegal prisons you run in other countries?
Yeah.
Okay, I was just checking.
He sure does. So Trump got into a big snit about getting scolded for doing a fascism, sort of, and he decided to call for the impeachment of that federal judge, claiming that Boasberg is a radical left lunatic. So let's check on that. Boasberg was appointed to the bench by the radical left lunatic president named George W. Bush, so that one checks out. Boasberg ordered the release of Hillary Clinton's emails in 2016. Seems radical left. He blocked the release of Trump's tax returns in 2017, and he was roommates with, you know, radical left lunatic Brett Kavanaugh while they were at Yale Law School.
God damn it. Trump, stop making me side with people who had the opportunity to hold a pillow over Kavanaugh's face and didn't, okay?
Yeah. And not in the fun, take a little piece of heaven back with you when you come way either. Like we're the the way that matters.
We have to put a safety warning on this episode now.
I'm just saying try it, everybody.
No, you're not saying try it.
But
and we're back. That was weird. So that leaves us with a constitutional crisis. And apparently our champion of liberal democracy is John Roberts. The Chief Justice took the rare, extreme step of a strongly worded letter last week in response to this. It said, approximate quote, "To whom it may concern, if you wouldn't mind whenever you get a minute, please don't call for the impeachment of a judge when you lose in a ruling. There's an appeals process. Love, John." Eggplant emoji.
Yeah. Yeah. Your Aunt Kathy is accusing you of hyperbole. Meanwhile, the Chief Justice is releasing public statements saying, hey, we're not technically doing tyranny yet, guys.
Cool.
Guys.
Cool. Roberts did not add, by the way, you need 67 votes in the Senate to impeach a federal judge, you stupid fuck. But who knows what matters anymore? For now, we have to cross our fingers and hope that orders from federal judges are going to lead to the Justice Department enforcing the rules on the Justice Department. Or the entire judicial branch is a Ponzi scheme with no enforcement.
Yeah.
So, Tony Stark, Captain, I know you're listening. Kiss and make up. Get your shit together. The Avengers are in charge of enforcing stuff on the fascist executive branch doing war crimes. Pretty simple this time around, philosophically.
Yeah. On a related note, hey, Thanos?
Yeah. Oh. You know what? That's even better. I was making it harder than it has to be. Thanos gets just faster.
Get in here, big guy.
All right, so I'm going to picture a dancing cast of multiple Thanoses doing West Side Story snapping, and we're going to take a quick break for a word from our sponsor, Policy Genius. Okay, and if we run into our future selves?
Kill them right away.
Exactly. Okay, kill them.
Hey, guys, what are you doing? Are those my VR goggles?
Not anymore, they're not. We made a time machine.
A time machine? Why?
Well, we want to make sure our loved ones are okay when we're gone.
Yeah.
Well, guys, if you care about that, you should try Policy Genius.
What's Policy Genius?
Did you use the time machine to win this point?
No.
With Policy Genius, you can find life insurance policies that start at just $290 per year for $1 million of coverage. Some options are 100% online and let you avoid unnecessary medical exams.
I don't know. Have you actually tried it?
I sure have. Knowing my loved ones are secure in case something happens to me is an amazing feeling, and Policy Genius's licensed support team helps you get what you need fast so you can get on with your life. They answer questions, handle paperwork, and advocate for you throughout the process.
All right, Noah, I'm sold. Where do I sign up?
Secure your family's tomorrow so you have peace of mind today. Head to PolicyGenius.com and click on the description to get your free life insurance quotes and see how much you could save. That's PolicyGenius.com.
All right. Thanks, Noah.
I got to admit, I think it's sweet that you want to check on Anne and Kai, though.
Oh, no. I was going to use the time machine to make sure Eli doesn't eat my Skittles.
Oh. Well, that's good, too.
Because I purchased them for myself?
No, yeah. Sure.
They're mine.
Hey, folks, Noah here to tell you that we've now officially joined the Creator Accountability Network. CAN is a nonprofit dedicated to reducing harassment and abuse through ethical education and a system of restorative accountability. We join because we care about the safety and well-being of our community members. If you feel our behavior or content has harmed someone, please report it to CAN, either via the reporting system on their website, creatoraccountabilitynetwork.org, or via their hotline, 617-249-4255. They'll help us make it right and avoid repeating the same mistake in the future. CAN also needs volunteers from our community to help with their process, so if you have skills that you think would be helpful, or time and a desire to help, please visit their website to find out how you can volunteer. Most importantly, get the word out to other creators who you think would be interested in getting credentialed. Help us build safer communities together. And now, back to the show.
And we're back. Next up in headlines in education vacation news. Donald Trump signed an executive order to dismantle the Department of Education this week. And the question everybody's asking is, can he actually do that? And like every other batshit, evil, and unprecedented thing he's done since becoming the president a second time, the answer is, probably not, but it's complicated, and it's definitely not going to help.
Okay, with zero hyperbole, ignorance is strength, is the official policy of the U.S. government.
Sure is.
And hey, Giorgio, feel free to time travel and side tackle me anyway. I don't know, maybe we can like hang out at that point, like... Have a drink. I could use a drink.
Yeah, no, I've got a houseplant you can torture and everything.
There we go.
Giorgio, deep cut there.
So, first things first, the first line of the New York Times article about this story reads, only Congress can abolish a cabinet-level agency, and it is not clear whether Mr. Trump has the votes in Congress to do so. So, let me give you some of that hard-hitting hot takes you come to the Skeptocrat for and tell you, he absolutely does not have those votes in Congress.
Sorry, you keep saying, like, Congers, something like that. It's like a government word.
Yeah, right. No, I guess all we need now is for Congress to assert their authority. So I'll just hold my breath.
Yeah. So, I mean, look, here's the thing. Republicans are cowards and they're also evil, but they are also acutely aware that the complete removal of the Department of Education would affect them and their states way more than it would be a win for Trump. And Donald Trump knows this too, right? He's doing this so that when it fails, he can say, the stopping stop Democrats who stop, and also a couple of Republicans I don't like. It's really a pity because it's so bad, really awful right now. Terrible. It's just terrible.
Yeah. Republicans only have 53 seats in the Senate, and they need 60 votes to get past a filibuster. And there's no way seven Democrats would ever cave in a situation like that.
Yeah. Right.
That wouldn't happen. It's more like 10 Democrats that would cave. Remember when we rolled over in exchange for literally nothing and we did a CR for them? But yeah, abolishing the DOE, that would get blocked and Trump would keep ruining education some other way.
Right. Yes, exactly. And this is my point, because just because he doesn't get to banish learning things to the mirror dimension with General Zod doesn't mean that Trump hasn't been able to do real and lasting damage. As the same article in the New York Times points out, Trump has already, quote, begun to dismantle the department, firing about half of its staff, gutting its respected education research arm, and vastly narrowing the focus of its civil rights division, which works to protect students from discrimination, end quote.
Yeah, no, look, there's a point where dismantled and run by the Trump administration is a distinction without a difference.
Yes. Yeah. Now, supporters of this move are going to tell you that shuttering the DOE would simply move this power and these decisions back to the states. But those people are wrong. They're also liars, and you should murder. But.
And we're back.
True. We're back. Even if that weren't true, the states that would be most hurt by this would be the ones that voted for Trump, because they rely on federal money to prop up their already vastly underfunded education programs. In short, if Trump did succeed, which he won't, all he would do is topple over a different, much longer-standing Republican House of Cards.
Okay, but everyone who voted on egg prices and also sends their kids to very expensive, fancy private schools with all the super amounts of money they have, those people are going to be fine. Those Republicans are fine.
Yeah. No, look, eventually somebody's going to actually have to go into his office and present the, but without the Department of Education, who's going to fund the Christian schools argument?
What it's going to take. So
who's going to buy the Trump Bibles?
So, yeah, this is obviously terrible, but it's also definitely not what your shitty uncle voted for, or what your asshole niece was willing to accept as a consequence when she decided to send a message this last election cycle. So when these things happen, and they will continue to happen, point this out to them, exclusively in the ways in which it will affect them. We are not appealing to decency or humanity anymore.
Yeah, right. No, that didn't work out. And in Auto Pens Roll Out.
Fantastic. Fantastic.
According to the media monitoring company Critical Mention, the term auto pen was used on television, radio, and podcasts in the United States 49 times in the months of January and February this year. On March 17th alone, it was used 6,188 times.
Huh.
So what happened in the interim? Well, Trump pretended that the use of such a device somehow invalidates bills signed by Biden, specifically pardons that Biden preemptively issued for some of Trump's most visible critics in government.
Also, the founding fathers forgot to use a number two pencil on the fucking Scantron. So technically, the Constitution doesn't count either.
It makes the rest of the show make sense. Yeah, no.
So to be clear, the use of an auto pen is entirely non-controversial. The George W. Bush administration, those radical left lunatics we were talking about earlier, they sought a legal opinion about it way back in the day, and their Justice Department said it was entirely valid. Barack Obama authorized the use of one a couple of times rather than have fucking documents flown to wherever the fuck in the world he was. Donald goddamn Trump has admitted to using one during his presidency repeatedly. So the idea that its use is egregious is manufactured post hoc by people who want a way to invalidate those pardons. And that is an effort, by the way, that's further undercut by the fact that A, there's no evidence that those pardons were signed by an auto pen, and B, pardons don't have to be signed by the fucking president to make them valid.
What are these people talking about? It's not a Disney movie. Like, a magical white light doesn't have to spell out Walt Disney Pictures in calligraphy to make laws real. Why would anyone think that? Why would that be the system?
I mean, to be fair to them, Heath, they don't actually think it. They just don't want to blow their wad and say, like, okay, we're doing a Stalin just yet. Because you only get to announce you're doing a Stalin once.
Yeah, you want to keep that a secret.
You want to do it on your birthday or something special.
Now, so to be fair to the conspiracy theorists, which is a weird fucking thing to
Thank
say.
You.
Their claim isn't just he used an auto pen so it doesn't count. Well, that is Trump's claim, because he's too dumb to understand the full conspiracy theory that he's ranting about. So his blurt on the subject was, quote, the pardons that sleepy Joe Biden gave to the unselect committee of political thugs and many others are hereby declared void, vacant, and of no further force or effect because of the fact that they were done by auto pen, end quote. But the larger conspiracy that he's incapably referencing is the assertion made, again, with absolutely no evidence, that these pardons were issued without Biden's knowledge or consent.
Okay, you shouldn't have to do this. But Joe, buddy, maybe a quick little TikTok explaining you knew about that you were there physically with your brain. Do a little dance on the TikTok?
No,
I don't know.
Don't bother Joe Biden. This is like when my mom puts her dog on the phone. We don't need to.
Okay. That's fair.
Yeah, well, but that's just the thing. They would question his mental state now, and it would just kick to that, right? That's how it all started. This conspiracy was first stoked, as near as I can tell, by Missouri Attorney General Andrew Bailey, who on March 5th posted a 3-page letter on Twitter calling for an investigation into Biden's, quote, mental capacity in his final days in office, end quote. Had nothing to do with the auto pen. Right. It went on to suggest, again, with absolutely no evidence, that members of his staff exploited his weakened mental state to get him to issue executive orders that he wouldn't have endorsed if he had known about them. This was amplified by some folks at the Heritage Foundation who added the auto pen bullshit. And then it gets picked up by a few right wing podcasts and falls into Trump's tiny little hands about a week later.
Yeah. And the Heritage Foundation tried to back up the claim by showing screenshots from the Federal Register site that has all the official documents. But it wasn't photos of, like, magical parchment scrolls that they believe we have for the laws. The Federal Register site just uses an image of one signature one time, and they put that at the bottom of every document. But the Heritage Foundation was like, ha-ha, why are all the signatures the same? And somebody had to explain, because Because it's the same one.
It's the same
photographic we just use over and over again.
You're stupid.
And, look,
paste.
It's worth reflecting for just a second on exactly what Trump did with the conspiracy theory once he had it. Right, his immediate response was to claim it would allow him to exact vengeance on members of the congressional committee that investigated Trump's fucking beer hall putts on January 6th. Right, that's the group he artfully dubbed the Unselect Committee of Political Thugs, because you'll like this. They were actually a select committee. Get it? Not unselect. It's clever stuff. He weaves. Anyway,
select
of all
not
the
committee.
Yeah, right.
He's the heart and soul
of
the podcast.
But of all the Biden initiatives that he could have weaponized, his first instinct was that part where you said I couldn't make up crimes to charge my political enemies with.
Right, which brings up the question, how long did it take Tall Tyler to convince him he didn't have an unpardon as the president?
Well, I think he still thinks he does.
Yeah.
But now, to be clear, there is no legal basis for Trump's claim that the pardons are void. It's irrelevant to the third power from a fucking jurisprudence perspective or whatever. But given the Republican compliance, the court's bias, the holistic corruption of the Justice Department, and the timidity of the Democratic opposition, I'm genuinely not sure if that's going to matter. Right. Because at this point, you have to go all the way to the like execute his political opponents in stadiums with missiles like Kim Jong-un stage before certainly they'd push back at that alarm kicks in these days.
Yeah. And in Deplorian news, if you saw an arm flailing tube man on the White House lawn recently and you found that confusing, you'll be excited to learn that Tesla has gone crazy and they started slashing prices of their stock on the NASDAQ and their resale value in that market.
Yeah.
Thanks to everyone hating Elon Musk and the existence of any other electric vehicle brand and, I don't know, some sort of like global trade war that might be affecting things.
What?
The Tesla stock price is down about 35% since Elon Musk's inauguration. And Donald Trump felt bad, so after he got rid of EV credits because electricity is gay, Trump held a televised sales event on the White House lawn for Tesla. That's a real, real thing that happened.
Ooh, okay. Is my advice to sell your Tesla stock from a few years ago good yet?
No.
God, long con. Well, long con.
No, look, but the actual truth is that your mistake was to assume that stockbrokers that are moving those numbers were at least as smart as you. Like, it's impossible to argue you weren't right about the leadership of Elon Musk and its relationship to the company's value at this point.
Yeah, so during the saddest local commercial of all time, Trump did a little skit with Elon on the White House lawn about the amazing selection of vehicles. At one point, they're standing in front of a Cybertruck, and Trump knocks on the side panel like, yeah, that'll hold. Fun fact, no, it won't. Pin in that. And then he says, wow, that is quite a cool truck. You got to give this guy credit. And then Elon realizes it's his line in their dumb skit, but he's out of the frame at that point. So he walks over and explains how the Cybertruck was designed to be all rad and futury, like the truck that, quote, Blade Runner would drive. Just a reminder, yes, it's not a guy. It's a name of like a group of
Harrison
cops.
Blade
Runner is about a cop who's hunting down replicants who look like people, but they don't have any kind of empathetic human response to questions when they're tested, and that test had the word "comp" in it. So Elon designed a truck for hunting himself, is what I'm saying.
All right, I think Elon knows exactly why he isn't helping the turtle. Though, okay. Yes.
So from there, Trump does some play acting of buying a Tesla. He gets inside one and immediately gets very confused by the dashboard, and he says, exact quote, the president of the United States says, everything's computer.
Self-driving. I haven't driven myself since 1977. Lee.
Yeah, right.
I don't know what the fuck this thing is.
Everything's computer.
That's not even a sentence.
Come on. So, despite the amazing Toyota-thon they did, the American public isn't loving Tesla. And we've seen several reports recently of vandalism and lighting Teslas on fire. And I'll start by saying, guys, you got to cut it out. Like, stop it. For real, cut it out. You got to cut it out. You got to stop that. It might sound like I'm smiling and winking, and I am, but seriously, no, seriously, that's dumb. It's super dumb. It's dumb for arson. There's so many better ways that you could, it doesn't matter. Just for scope, that sort of crime happened a handful of times, yes, but there's also a much larger group of people doing very legitimate, nonviolent protesting at Tesla locations. Or as you might hear it from Attorney General Pam Bondi, there's a wave of domestic terrorism against Tesla and nobody else.
Huh.
According to the Attorney General of the United States, quote, "Let this be a warning. If you join this wave of domestic terrorism against Tesla properties, the Department of Justice will put you behind bars," end quote. Bondi also claimed that it's not just isolated attacks, instead suggesting it's a plot by a shadow organization that's, quote, "operating behind the scenes to coordinate and fund these crimes."
Okay, Pam Bondi, if donating to a legal fund or two is wrong, then Puzzle in a Thunderstorm LLC doesn't want to be right.
I want to point out that these efficiency experts think that throw a fucking Molotov cocktail at a Tesla dealership is the kind of thing that needs to be funded and coordinated.
Yeah, they're like an Illuminati meeting for that. Everybody's just like, no, I got it. I'm just going to throw the thing and set it on fire.
But of course, they need that for when they later try to like round up a bunch of people and say they're part of an anti-Tesla gang and send them to El Salvador, which, by the way, Trump has actually threatened to do.
Yeah, mm-hmm. We're being invaded by the globalists or something. Yeah, I'm sure we'll get there.
Maybe they'll prosecute Khalil for it.
Probably. Great. Well, we also got a sweet stock tip last week from the Secretary of Commerce. That would be Howard Lutnick.
Weird.
The tip was buy Tesla. So you might be thinking,
that seems like a bad idea.
Hold on. Yeah. Isn't there like a code of federal regulations that very specifically says you can't do that? Yes. Yes, there is. Who enforces that? Go fuck yourself. Lutnick did an interview with Jesse Waters on Fox News and said, quote, "If you want to learn something on this show tonight, buy Tesla." He also added, "People are going to be dreaming of today and Jesse Waters and thinking, gosh, I should have bought Elon Musk's stock."
Jesus Christ. We are inches away from the State of the Union, including an aside that encourages us to like and subscribe.
Oh, State of the Union super chats. Yes, I'm in.
Why would people dream of Jesse Waters? Okay.
I dream of Jesse Waters. I get it.
All right. Well, this was quite the shocking revelation. Turns out the type of person who might buy an electric vehicle is not a huge fan of the white South African emerald mining heir who runs the company and spends his money buying elections for neo-Nazis.
Weird.
Yeah, so all that's left of consumer demand is weird fucking crypto bros who want the 8-bit El Camino Cybertruck and a few Republicans who want to pwn the libs by saving the environment, but like edgy with bigotry or something. Got us.
Yeah.
Also, pretty much every single Cybertruck, this is the pin from earlier, they just got recalled because their Fisher-Price plastic panels that are glued on, they just pop off. They're next to the windshield. They just fly off in the middle of the highway all the time. Almost every Cybertruck just got recalled.
Yep. Yeah. So it's crypto bros who want most of an 8-bit El Camino Cybertruck.
Right.
Yeah. And in getting the fuck out of Doge news, as you can probably imagine, this is a pretty busy time of the year for the folks at the IRS, what with everyone's taxes coming due in 3 weeks and a day or whatever, which probably makes it all the more frustrating when the agency's entire staff has to spend Mondays lining up at shared computers to answer Elon Musk's dumbass, "What did I do this summer?" email to justify the continued existence of their fucking jobs. To the point where people calling with tax questions just don't get answered. Which it sounds inefficient to me. So apparently, thanks to the 11,000 Doge-led job cuts at the IRS and another 9,000 jobs in limbo while court cases play out, along with the $20 billion in resources that were repealed for them in the latest budget and the added bullshit requirements like the weekly "What would you say you do here?" emails, the IRS is now projecting a 10% drop in revenue collected in 2025 from the previous year, despite the economy being way the fuck better. Because apparently, a fuck ton of rich people have realized that an agency that can't find enough personnel to answer the goddamn phones probably won't have the personnel necessary to audit them.
Okay, I'm usually against a mandatory draft, like a military thing, but if we ever get back into power, I want IRS hegemony, like the biggest possible thing. Full draft, National Guard called in. I want auditor drones just flying around, following rich people and taking notes.
Right. Right. Now, of course, this is all well-known shit. Heath has talked before on this show about how any cuts to staffing at places like the IRS and the SEC are negative, like they have a negative fiscal impact, right? Since those employees bring in more money for the government than we pay them. So if the actual goal of the so-called Department of Government Efficiency was efficiency, this would make no fucking sense. Right. But its actual goal is to disassemble the government for the long term benefit of China and Russia and the short term benefit of billionaire tax cheats. And it all makes perfect sense through that lens.
Hey, Elon, I was listening to a podcast. This guy was wondering if we're going to make more revenue by paring back a revenue service. I'm fired. I'm fired. OK, cool. Sorry.
I have to go buy little balls now. Oh, man.
And of course, the IRS is hardly the only place where you're going to find stories of Doge's anti-efficiency crusade, like how at the fucking National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, they instituted a policy where no contract can be initiated or extended without the Commerce Secretary himself personally signing off on it when he's done giving you fucking Tesla stock tips. This has, of course, created an insane bottleneck for an organization with 12,000 employees that operates all over the goddamn world and does shit as important as track fucking hurricanes.
Doesn't sound efficient.
Yeah, like, so one of the contracts on the verge of expiring because of this idiocy is the one that maintains and repairs the All Hazards Weather Radio Network.
What the fuck?
That's the one that puts out tornado warnings and watches.
This is exactly all the terrible stuff that happens in Atlas Shrugged when the socialists
it
are
is.
In charge, though.
Right.
Trains crashing, economy tanking, disaster response crumbling. Turns out, it's the literal exact opposite of the dumb theory in the book, though. We're doing a live-action debunking of the favorite book for everyone at the Doge.
Wow.
Yeah, I liked it better when we were just doing this with Cecil and not the whole nation. So,
that would have been better, yeah. But look, this is the inevitable result of Musk's childishly simplistic canceled contract equals money saved attitude. Right. Like when they canceled a fucking TSA contract that covered the feeding and kenneling of the agency's bomb sniffing dogs. Assuming, I guess, that, you know, they'd just be able to shove some food into the starved ones later when they sorted out a new fucking contract. Or the multiple stories from multiple agencies where everybody was ordered, like all the remote workers were ordered back into the office and nobody upped the goddamn toilet paper orders in the meantime. Meanwhile, even the most generous estimate of the amount that this purge of workers and reason has saved pales in comparison to the $500 billion in revenue lost to unpunishable tax cheats that the IRS themselves are now predicting. Hell, even the ridiculous wall of receipts that Musk keeps having to backtrack on only added up to one-fifth that amount at its highest.
Why are they posting that? So many journalists were like, hey, I can add, so you're lying. And Doge was like, fuck, adding. Next time, Gadget, next time. When you're lying, paper trails are bad.
Right.
I don't know why I'm giving tips to the Doge, but that's a pretty easy one.
Yeah. How do we cut the press? Oh, we're working on it. We're working on cutting the press. Okay,
right,
nice.
Yep. But of course, efficiency was never the fucking point. The point was a guy with the emotional maturity of a 14-year-old in the comments section paid somebody to read Ayn Rand for him, fell in love with the idea that he really was the bestest boy, it's super important, and then got a lot of encouragement to run with it by folks making him rich in China. Our country is being actively dismantled by the least interesting guy at the frat party and his fucking friend Big Balls.
Well, if he keeps it in check, he's Big Balls.
Well, right, yes, tentatively.
And finally tonight, in Time Flies When You're Having Gun News, Omega Brain skeptics like myself and Heath Enright have been saying for years what we know to be true. That JFK was not shot by Lee Harvey Oswald, but was instead assassinated by the gay Cuban mafia and then CIA operative George Bush Sr. And we knew, in our deepest of hearts, that one day, when the Kennedy files were released, we would be vindicated. Well, in one of the rare presidential promises Donald Trump has managed to keep, the Trump administration released those files this week, and it turns out Lee Harvey Oswald did it.
Yeah.
Ah, fuck.
Okay, so normally I'd say, well, Trump is clearly in on the plot. But there's no fucking way the Illuminati let Donald Trump be part of any secret.
This is fair.
They'd be 5 seconds into a meeting and Trump would be like, I'm tweeting I killed Kennedy. Fuck. Person, woman, man, kafif. I'm just naming stuff in the rest of the tweet. So, yeah, it's got to be a different conspiracy we didn't think of yet, Eli.
It was all a plot by Big Hill to force everybody to know what a knoll is.
Ooh, yeah, there you go. Now, you might be thinking to yourself, okay, Eli, stupid people being wrong isn't new or news. But it turns out that when you release 77,000 pages of documents about nothing, you actually reveal quite a lot of something. Something the man actually probably doesn't want you to know about. For example, as the New York Times pointed out, one CIA employee complained in a memo about the ways in which the CIA had overstepped its boundaries in dealings with the Vatican and two popes, to which a bunch of real and actual historians replied, almost exact quote, sorry, secret dealings with the who now?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, it says, we smuggled so many Nazis into Argentina, so many, I'm the Pope. What do you guys think that means in this document?
and it's not just that, right? There's evidence of CIA participation in coups, penetration of foreign governments. Even the names of sources during those times are in these documents.
Jesus.
None of which are related to the Kennedy assassination, but pretty much all of which are fascinating to historians who thought they'd never see this information released.
Really?
As one told the Times, real quote, I didn't think I'd live to see the day.
The CIA was doing regime change in this establishment? I am shocked.
Okay, so I'm not endorsing government-backed assassination or anything, but you have to admit that right after that historian said that would have been the funniest possible time for the CIA to take him out, right?
Right?
Yeah, I never thought I'd live to see the...
Yeah, so it's rare that we got some good news, especially for nerds in the Trump administration, but it seems like this is definitely that. So enjoy your book reports or whatever you're doing, and thank the brave, open minds and hearts of people like me and Heath for giving it to you.
Okay, so I'm not sure I'm willing to categorize indiscriminately declassifying CIA documents, including the names of sources, as good just yet.
That's fair.
But I do look forward to some updated histories in the future, I guess.
Negative Nancy. No illusions. That's
you.
And
we will come up with our new theory soon on how JFK
got
killed. We'll figure it. We're going to do our own research. And on that note,
Grok will help us.
We're going to close it out. Thanks to No Illusions, thanks to Eli Bosnick, and thanks to all the listeners who liked us and followed us on all the various internets. Please keep doing that. Please keep listening, and please keep telling your friends. And if you find the naive stupidity of our giving away a free show business model to be oddly charming, you can send us gifts of money at patreon.com/skeptocrat. Just like Gail Christine, Chonky Cat in Chicago Eats the Rich.
Phenomenal.
Sawyer Craddit, Dan Moran, Darth Nader, Don Neusiler, David Schrodes, Alex, Ben, Anxious Serve, Jason, Andrew Coleman, Jordan Needles, Trent Davis, Nicholas Pizek, and Julie, I was here first, but James is richer, Pipkin. And okay, if it sounds like we're getting half a feud that's playing out in Patreon nicknames, it's because we are. I looked back, and last month, we thanked a new patron named James Pipkin, and his new name on Patreon is James. I had to show Julie how Patreon works, Pipkin. I will also add that Julie is giving more money than James, even though James is allegedly richer.
The winner James. Is actually the one giving us the most
James,
money.
James, are you
going to
take that, James?
Okay, but we love all those people too.
Yeah, but mostly I like Julie, who gave us a donation and narked on another donor.
Yes,
that's
this is
cool.
Good. Get in
that's...
there, everybody.
Yeah,
fucking dox each other.
And whether or not you're feeling financially benevolent like those fine people, not really, James, but like everybody else, if you enjoyed our Brand of Whimsy and you'd like to hear more dick jokes free of charge, check out our brother and sister shows, The Scathing Atheist, God Awful Movies, D&D Minus, and Citation Needed, available in all the podcast places. We just have one last thing. Let's compliment that penist. Special thanks to Ryan Slotnick of Evil Giraffes on Mars. He is the creator of the virtuosic musical stylings you heard today, which were used with permission. You should definitely check him out using the links we'll provide or by Googling the only band called Evil Giraffes on Mars. Until next time, catchphrase sign off. The preceding podcast was a production of Puzzle and the Thunderstorm, LLC, copyright 2025, all rights reserved.
This content is CAN credentialed, which means you can report instances of harassment, abuse, or other harm at their hotline at 617-249-4255 or on their website at creatoraccountabilitynetwork.org.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait, and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or jeffweilercolumbusautomall.com.